Good evening. Yes, if we could turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please, tonight. Let's pray as we come to the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living Word. We thank you that even though all the gods of the earth are idols, the idols of man, and man worships the creature rather than the Creator, we have gathered here tonight, Lord, to worship you, our God, our Creator, the giver of life and the sustainer of life. I pray, Father, that you would speak through your word, illumine your word to us tonight, that we may see the hidden treasure that is in every line. We pray, Father, that you would be glorified tonight. We pray you would draw others to yourself. And tonight that you would feed your church and build up your church for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, our text tonight is Hebrews 11, the first seven verses. And Hebrews 11 is the honor roll of the faithful, the great honor roll of those who are found, named and mentioned in Scripture. And I just want to look at the first three characters tonight, Abel, Enoch and Noah. And consider out of this text the characteristics of these heroes of the faith and glean from their lives how we can grow in our faith. What were the characteristics of these men of faith? In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, we read that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We know our Lord Jesus was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. We know the Word was with God and the Word was God. We know that the same was in the beginning with God. And we believe as Christians that all things were made by Him, by Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. You need to have faith to be an evolutionist. You need to have faith. But we who are saved, we have faith also in those things which are unseen. But we believe that God plainly spoke and it became. He spoke things into existence. Our Lord Jesus was there from the beginning. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God spoke, and it was so. Psalm 95 says that God, our God, is a God above all gods, and that creation proclaims him. In Psalm 95, it says, "Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." Man has a God of his own imagination. Or perhaps he himself is God, or his career path is God. Whatever he has made out to be an idol. But we see here that our Lord is the great King above all gods. For in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he has made it, and his hands form the dry land. And man stands condemned by the very fact that they have rejected the Creator. Romans, the book of Romans talks about how man progressively gets worse. Because what he has of him, of God in himself, he suppresses in unrighteousness. He desires, as we heard this morning, and longs for sin. And his heart is hardened, and he begins to worship the creation rather than the Creator. And this is a problem in our land, a problem in our world, which is full of little gods. But here we see God is set forth as the one who, by him the worlds were framed, by him the things which we now see were spoken into existence. Where did they come from? From nothing. From nothing. Explain that to a mortal man. Explain that to a man. He doesn't get it. He doesn't grasp it. Faith. We have faith in something else, in some process, in some chemical reaction, or we have faith in the Word of God, in the living Word. And from that springs all hope and all life. Romans spoke of man knowing God, but they rebelled and rejected the living God because they loved their sin. We're going to read about Noah, and about Enoch, and about Abel. What happened in Noah's day? Man was a lover of self, a lover of pleasure, more than a lover of God. When Jesus came on the earth, why did man hate him? Because they loved darkness rather than light. And so even in the end times, Paul writes to Timothy and exhorts him in 2 Timothy 3:2 and says, men will be lovers of themselves in the last times. They'll be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. And we live in that society, in that tragic society that has rejected God and has become a worshipper of creation, of those things created, rather than of the Creator, who is worthy of all praise, who is worthy of all glory. And so we live in a faithless generation. Because man, he gets what he can get. A lover of self, a lover of money, a boaster, a proud, a blasphemer. Man does not count it a light, doesn't count it a gross error to name the name of Christ and swear thereby and blaspheme his name. He doesn't count it as a gross error. And today, disobedience to parents, well, it's seen as something natural and normal in our society, that a child will rebel, that disobedience to parents is okay. We see unthankfulness. And so through the ages, and particularly we see the life of Noah, and we see also right through the Scripture, we see God judging and God working in a way to draw that man that rejects him to himself. And he cries out. Jesus made the statement in Luke 18 and verse 7, where he speaks of God avenging his own elect who cry day and night to him. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith on the earth? The Lord Jesus is coming again for his own. The Lord Jesus is coming for his own. We see the life of Abel in just a moment. We're going to see Enoch, who was translated. And we see Noah, who by faith prepares an ark. And we can all learn from these men. We can all learn from these men. All of these men believed in a faithful God. Our Bible says that even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For our God cannot deny himself. Our Bible says in Psalm 33 that the word of the Lord is upright and all his work is done in faithfulness. And we can trust in his word. And we know also that our Lord has plans for our welfare and not for evil, according to Jeremiah 29, to give us a future and a hope. And it says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I want to submit tonight that that was a secret of those men, of Abel and of Enoch and of Noah, those men of faith, that they sought the Lord and they found him, for they sought after him with all their heart. So let's look and consider Abel. So let's have a look at Abel's life. By faith, Abel offered to God, verse 4, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. We look at the life of Abel. In the dawn of history, we open our Bibles to the book of Genesis, and we see that Abel is a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. And we see that both these brothers bring an offering before the Lord. Cain brings from the fruit of the ground an offering, and Abel brings also, but he brings of the firstlings of the flock. And the Lord has respect unto Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and to Cain's offering, he does not have respect. And we see then in the process of time, when Cain talks with Abel, his brother, when they were in the field, Cain rises up and murders and kills Abel. Now, Abel speaks to us in many ways today. The book of Hebrews says that Abel still speaks. How does he speak to us? You know, I believe a man or woman that is growing in faith must continue to exercise a right understanding of the gospel of grace and of salvation. Abel got it. Abel understood that it was in a broken and a contrite spirit that God was pleased with that sacrifice. Abel understood that the way was through the Lamb. Abel understood that there had to be a sacrifice. And so God, putting it in Abel's heart, we see this communion between Abel. And I believe Abel was a man who walked closely with God and sacrificed on many occasions before the Lord. And so he walked with a contrite heart, and Abel teaches us this way of repentance that is through the Lamb, through the blood of the Lamb, that we have been saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. Furthermore, Abel displays the fruit of love. Abel had the fruit of love to his brother, whereas Cain only hate. Cain had hate. But consider Abel, who goes up and offers a sacrifice, a man who walked with God and walked in faith. It says here that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. He still speaks. I believe that there is a superficiality in Christianity today. When people don't make their lives right with God, they don't keep short accounts with God. And we know we live in a day where there is much temptation, and no temptation has overtaken us that it's not common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability, but he also provides a way of escape. But if we sin, we have the Lamb. And 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As a man or woman growing in faith, we must be quick to confess our sins. Abel and Enoch and Noah, they had this testimony that they pleased God, that they walked with God. They are named here in the honor roll of the faithful. They are sensitive to sin. Abel was a very sensitive man to sin. And when he grieved God, he brings the lamb before God. He brings the lamb, and so we bring our sins to the lamb. Now in the new covenant, which speaks better things than that of Abel, we come to the mediator of the new covenant, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb. And the psalmist says, you, O Lord, in Psalm 86, he says, you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Cain didn't get that, but Abel did. And you see the difference between a works mentality and that which is of grace, that which is of faith, that which is through the Lamb. And as men and women of faith, we must grow in our understanding of the gospel, of grace, and of faith. Because I tell you, we'll spend all of eternity learning about it. When we stand before the throne, when we see the Lamb in the streets of gold, we will yet be learning. We will still be learning. We will not be able to understand and comprehend the great work which he has done. We will never exhaust the end of it. And so grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. Abel was a man, he testifies, that he had short accounts with God. He understood the way of sacrifice. He walked with God. That which grieves God should grieve us. Those things which grieved God grieved Abel. And he comes before God. I want to also consider 1 John chapter 3 in this context, because Cain is mentioned by John. And in the context of love for the brethren, in 1 John 3:11, it says, "This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And it says, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother." Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Abel's works were righteous and Abel walked in love. If Cain walked in hate, surely then Abel typifies those who love the brethren. And so a fruit that we're growing in faith, and evidence in our life that we are growing in faith, is that we're confessing our sins, keeping short accounts with our Lord, understanding this way of salvation, and loving the brethren. And there's a whole lifetime that we could spend preaching through the epistles on love. And so, just as Cain typifies those who hate, Abel typifies those who love. And evidence in your life and my life, if I'm growing in faith toward God, if I'm drawing closer, and you've heard of the triangle where a man and a woman who are married draw closer to the Lord, their marriage draws closer because they are drawing closer to the Lord in love. And as a body, I encourage us all to look at the example of Abel. Now, Enoch, in verse 5, it speaks of Enoch in our text, Hebrews 11 verse 5, that Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken or translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We read of Enoch in Genesis 5, Genesis 5 verse 21. That Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You look at the life of Enoch. You look at the life of Abel. Look at the life of Noah. And we'll see the common trait, the common traits in these men of faith. Jude also mentions Enoch in Jude in the 14th verse. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, going right from the start of Scripture right to the end, the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men when he speaks about the apostates, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all." So Enoch, though being the seventh from Adam, he saw what was to come. Because a person who walks with God, time is no barrier to them. Time was no barrier to Daniel. Time was no barrier to the prophets who saw things to come. And in a special way, Jude mentions Enoch. Scripture, the Holy Spirit, mentions Enoch in a special way. That he comes and he sees that there will be a judgment on all, and he comes, the Lamb comes, to convict all who are ungodly among all of them of all of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way. Three times ungodly. Three times. You see the emphasis. To convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I speak of people who blaspheme, who you walk around in the office and they just swear and blaspheme the name of our Lord Jesus. And our hearts sink, don't they, when we hear them blaspheme the name of Jesus. And so Enoch has his special ministry, and he, like Abel, still speaks. He speaks through his life and his faith. He was a man that walked with God. And a man who says, who sees God is the one who's righteous and judges the ungodly, himself was righteous. He himself walked in a godly way. He himself was very careful to confess his sins before the Lord. He was very tender-hearted towards God, that the things which grieved God would grieve him also. The harsh words that were spoken, the deeds that were done, the life of the ungodly grieved his heart as they grieved the heart of God. So a man or a woman of faith must know the Lord and walk with him and must be ready to depart from this evil world. Are you ready to be translated? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go to your heavenly home? Because later on, as we work through, God willing, in the coming weeks, through Hebrews 11, we see that all of these were sojourners. All of these that are mentioned here, the honor roll of the faithful, they're all sojourners through this life. They are just passing through. This earth is not their home. And so we see Enoch. Look at those who were condemned. Those who by thought and motive and deed were ungodly. All those ungodly among them. All those who were practicing ungodly deeds. If you read the book of Revelation, it's the same. There is judgment. There is judgment coming. How few today call on the name of the Lord. But these men called. Abel walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch called on the name of the Lord. We see these examples, and in verse 6 of our text in Hebrews 11, it says, without faith it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. He is the one that exists forever. He is the I am that spoke through the burning bush to Moses. I am. This is the one. It is he who we proclaim. It is him that we seek. It is him we come to and believe that he is. For he, the text says, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you want to be rewarded? Do I want to be rewarded? With the presence of the Lord? With the knowledge of the holy? Then seek him. Seek him. Seek him as these men did. First, we must believe that he is. We must believe that he framed, he made the world. We must be broken, coming to God, walking in fellowship with God. We see that Abel and Enoch, they diligently sought God. Earnestly and honestly they did. They weren't perfect. They weren't perfect. But they were counted righteous before God. And they walked and behaved themselves in a righteous manner. And from such God will never turn away those who earnestly seek him. Noah as well. Noah lived in a generation like ours. Didn't the Lord Jesus himself say that as in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man? Noah was moved with fear, the fear of God, and he prepared an ark. In chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Friends, if you talk to those who have been churched, those who have fallen away or have stopped attending, a lot of the argument that comes your way is, well, it's been talked about for thousands of years. Where is the sign of his appearing? Weren't the apostles waiting for the Lord's return? Where is the sign of his appearing? And you know, that's a cover-up and a cop-out. Because men love darkness rather than light. And men hide behind their darkness, lest they should come to the light and their darkness be revealed. But Noah, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to be a preacher of righteousness. He wasn't afraid to shun evil. And we see in this man, faith. Faith. He prepares an ark for the saving of his household, building 120 years. Where nothing of the sort, no flood of any kind had come upon the earth. Now that took faith. But he was moved. It says he was moved with godly fear. And friends, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And this is what our society desperately lacks. Desperately lacks. That is just the beginning. That doesn't give you, that doesn't save you. But it's the beginning. And he moved with godly fear in faith. He prepares an ark for the saving of his household. In Genesis 6:9, we know that Noah pleased God. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Can we see the thread? Can we see the emphasis in these men? They walked with God. If we want to be a man or woman of faith and grow thereby, we need to walk with God. We need to know Him and walk with Him. 2 Peter 2:5 says that the ancient world was not spared, and Noah, being only one of eight people, was saved out of it, and he was a preacher of righteousness. Now, I was asked a question this past week. Was Noah really a preacher of righteousness, or did he just build the ark? Was he just a builder? No, it says he was a preacher of righteousness. I think that if you are divinely moved to build an ark, as we are given the gospel of hope, we would treat it very seriously to bring the message of the only hope and only salvation to a people that are about to perish. He definitely was a preacher of righteousness, and he exercised faith in God, in his obedience, in the practical building of the ark, but also in the preaching of a message to a generation which is just like ours, a generation of the ungodly, a generation that Enoch saw, a generation that Jesus spoke of in Luke 17. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Friends, if we believe that to be true, if we believe that not now by water but by fire there is a judgment coming on this earth, we too ought to be moved with godly fear. With godly fear. Doing what we can for our children, our church, and the ungodly out there. To bring this message that there is an ark. There is a place of refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. A person of faith, a person who models their life on these, the honor roll of the faithful, will be a preacher of righteousness. We'll live it out by practical obedience. We see that example. There's practical obedience, but there's the opening of the mouth. There must be the opening of the mouth. We are preparing the coming day of the Lord. We are heaven bound. And as we work through Hebrews 11, we're going to see that all these that walked on the earth, this world was not their home. Their feet trod lightly. They had a very small carbon footprint on this earth, if I could put it that way. They were heaven bound. They were homeward bound. They weren't some superstitious people believing in things unseen. They were moved because they believed the word of the Lord. They believed the word of the living God, and so ought we also to be. That we are people who are moved, moved to action by the living word of God. Because if we are hearers of the word but not doers of it, to us, we live as though they were cunningly devised fables. If we who know the truth don't live it out, don't grow in faith, don't follow the pattern, then in our minds, by what we do, by what we say, we think these are cunningly devised fables. But I assure you, they are not. I assure you this word is true. And though it breaks my heart as I go and try and share the word with people and with my workmates and with my boss, how unresponsive people are, how hard of heart people are, though the heart breaks, it is true. It is coming. Judgment will come. There was a flood that came in Noah's day. And there is a last day where the Lord Himself will descend with a shout, with the trump of God. And friends, live in this world as being here but not being of it. And my response to this text, my response reading the lives of these men and just skimming the surface tonight was to cry with the apostles, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. Because we live in an age where man is so humanistic, so naturalistic, he believes that what is real is only the things that can be touched or can be bought. The success that I can have in these few short years, in these futile years. But labor not for the things which are here, friends. Labor not for the things which are going to vanish. The eternal labor, that is what counts. Anything done for God, small or great, that's what counts. That's what counts in eternity. And so, in closing, all the men of faith that we read about, Abel and Enoch and Noah, they had this in common, that they walked in a contrite way before their God. This was the evidence of their faith, that they walked with a broken heart before the Lord, that they kept their communion with their Lord by not allowing sin between God and them. And so we ought not to allow sin to be between us and the Saviour. And to walk in communion, these men were moved by godly fear. These men showed action. Their obedience and the fruit of their life was action and obedience. And we see also there displayed the fruit of love. And we see that whether our lives are taken early, as Abel's life was, whether our lives are taken early, we don't know the hour. Whether we are taken in the rapture or whether we live and are caught up to be with Him forever in the air, let us be of that same mind. That's my encouragement. Let us be of that same mind and heart of faith. And I pray, Lord, increase our faith. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we come to You tonight and we acknowledge that, I acknowledge that I fall so short. And Lord, I pray, increase my faith. Lord, that I might have the right reactions of love amongst my brethren. That, Lord, I might be obedient to Your known will and direction in my life. Lord, help me to be quick to confess and forsake sin. Help us, Lord, all to walk in a close communion with You. For, Lord, You are coming again quickly, and You have promised that Your reward is with You. And, Lord Jesus, we marvel that we will one day stand in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And we will wonder that day and for all eternity how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. But yet how marvelous and how wonderful, Lord, is your love to us. And we experience so much this side of eternity. Help us to experience more. Lord, help us to be men and women and children of faith in this dark generation, Lord. Help us, Lord, knit our hearts together as we, Lord, move forward, as we move toward you together. We pray you would do this and accomplish this for your great name's sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.